You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Finally, on the show today, Auckland Live's two bee colonies have died. The hives were found after a routine inspection a fortnight ago. The cause of death is believed to be death by poisoning due to insecticide spraying. Prior to the tragedy, the two hives had a combined bee population of around 30,000 bees, which last summer produced a whopping 75 kilograms of honey. Well, earlier I spoke to For the Love of Bees member Sarah Smuts-Kennedy, and I began by asking what exactly happened.
We don't know 100% that they were poisoned by insecticide spray. It's suspected that they have been affected by poisons, but we can't, unless they are tested, we can't determine that. But what we do know is that we have had a lot of colonies dying around the Auckland area over the last sort of month and a half. But the truth is of the matter is whether or not these bees died specifically from neonicotinoids. We know that neonicotinoids are extremely detrimental to bees. There have been reports come out only this week that were commissioned by Bayer, one of the producers of these products themselves, and there's no question any longer that these insecticides, they're specifically neonicotinoids, but there are plenty of others that are being used that are also detrimental to bees, are affecting bees worldwide.
Do you have any idea who might be responsible?
Well, you only need to walk into your Bunnings and your Mitre 10 or your King's Plant Barn to have a look on shelves. There are all sorts of sprays in our shops that we can currently purchase that are really detrimental to bees. They're also being, neonicotinoids really big time in New Zealand are still being used, treated on seeds and sown into pastures. So we know that at least 80% of the pastures in New Zealand at the moment are being sown with seed treatments that have systemic pesticides on them that are extremely detrimental to bees, but not just bees, but to microbiology, which is really critical to being able to grow a strong plant. We end up with using these things because our plants are so weak and are vulnerable to attack by insects. But one of the things that these things do is actually also kill the microbial world, which is part of the environmental system that actually enables us to grow healthy, strong plants. But not only that, they end up in trace elements and it also affects human beings. But first of all, what we see very clearly is them affecting our bee population and other pollinators.
How often are beehives like this checked?
Well, hives are generally checked at least once a month. Sometimes in the winter that shifts. We actually also have another collaboration partner called BuzzTech that actually have a hive sensor system. It's a monitor that goes into the hive and it basically measures five different temperatures and takes an audio clip every hour, and those bits of information enable them to be able to determine live the high health of the hive. And what's so fantastic about that sensor system is that it enables you to see very quickly if your hive is going into decline. So we've got a project that we're running with BuzzTech called the Heartbeat Project, which is asking beekeepers in Auckland, but not just in Auckland, all around the country, to start using these sensors, because they're going to give us an ability to collate data on hive health across the city and across Auckland, and actually able us to be a little bit more certain about the things that are impacting on our bees. Like, it'll give us the chance to, if we know that there's been a spray regime happening in a certain area, we will be able to more directly correlate that to hive health, not just when they die, but actually if they're affected before, hopefully, they die, we'll get to know that information. So, yeah, we're asking people to participate in the Heartbeat Project. It's one of our collaboration projects that we've got live that will have people be able to monitor their hives, not just sort of once a month, but actually daily, by simply going onto a computer and having a look at the data that's coming out of it.
How big a tragedy is this for the bee population?
Terrible. It's huge. I mean, those colonies on the Aotea Centre were two very healthy hives. So, no, it's devastating. I had an email last night from another beekeeper in Point Chevalier who's lost three of her four hives in the last month. We lost about six hives in the Howick, I think it's Half Moon Bay area. And those are the only ones that we know about. It's it's devastating. We require bees to basically cross-pollinate our food sources for us. We're incredibly dependent on them. And in New Zealand, we're super dependent on them because they actually provide a hell of a lot of job security for New Zealanders. I mean, you look at the apple industry alone, one industry in New Zealand, they are producing 24 million crates of apples every year for export. Now, every single apple is made possible by the pollination services that are free to make that apple transition from being a flower into being something that can become an apple for sale. So we are hugely dependent on bee populations. But, you know, where I come from, it's not just bees we should be concerned about. We should be concerned about these materials entering into our soils, affecting our microbial communities, which we're super dependent on, and also ending up in our food chain. So, you know, this is, in a way, our bees are the canary in the coal mine for us. They give us a sense of a very visible sense of what's happening in our agricultural, horticultural, and also in our city spaces.
So is there any good news to come out of this, and you know, for people?
Yeah, I really do think so, Sam. I mean, it's a wake-up call to us to take a look at the sort of practices that we have that are detrimental to bees. And the good news is that we can actually change our behaviour very quickly. When you go into a store, you just need to read the labels really carefully. And my recommendation is, if it says not safe for bees, not safe for aquatic life, not safe for microbiology, or don't touch it, don't let children touch it, just stop using those kind of products. At For the Love of Bees, we've created two learning infrastructures to enable people to come into our space and to learn very quickly the types of things that they can do to transition them to what we call biological gardening. Biological gardening, or horticultural practices, are having huge success around the world. They're really the kind of, they're like the new cool way, it's actually an old way, to basically garden, grow plants. We are teaching how to do that every Thursday at Griffith Gardens, which is at 42 Wellesley Street, right behind Queen Street. We call it lunchtime learning. From 12 till 2, we will teach you the things that you can use instead that are safe for bees, that are safe for microbiology, and are actually really safe for human beings. We also have a free bee school every first Sunday of the month that we run in Victoria Park. Anyone can come, and we're doing that for the next 2 years. That's sponsored by Cerasol, which is really fantastic. So we're creating infrastructure for people to actually learn, what can I do as a human being today that is useful for bees, that is actually going to make my city, my country, and in fact the planet a safer place for us in the long term, because it's not sustainable to keep using these practices that are actually detrimental to the insect life that we're really completely dependent on for our own well-being.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.